Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that every once in a while will actually dig into the details of Republic Review and the process, which is the process that will get the federal government back into compliance of the Constitution. It's just a matter of getting the parents back in the room, my friends. And right now, the parents are running amok. And even worse is the children, or the child, which has spawned itself in kind of like duplicity. I forget the name of that Michael Keaton movie where he started making copies of copies. Anyway, that's how stupid and pathetic it is. We have a child that is running amok, running circles around the parent because they have duplicated and duplicated and duplicated powers that they have no authority to do. And so the only way we're going to successfully get this federal government back into compliance is getting the parents, the states, to wake up and start working amongst themselves and going, you know, we never let this happen. Why are we allowing this to continue? It's the conversation is really that simple and can be that succinct once everybody understands that they have no authority to do almost everything it is that they're doing. I had a conversation just the other day about the federal government spends about $500 billion on defense and so forth, whether that's building the wall or what have you. Where does the rest of the money go? And I'll ask you, how much of that money out of $4 trillion or whatever they're spending a year, four plus, if $500 billion is being used on the one constitutional thing that they're supposed to be doing, where's the rest of the money going? If you're worried about that debt clock, because right now the federal government's raking in $2.2, if not more, $2 trillion a year from the states. That's a lot of excess money beyond what they really need. And you know what? If you're going to keep on letting them spend it on the next thing and the next thing that they have no business spending it on, we will go bankrupt. It's pretty much that simple. And so as you start understanding the process, start getting involved. Let this be the point in time you say, you know what? We need to do this. We need to move forward with this. As you know, the listen number, we have one. If you cannot listen to this entire show, then you may want to just dial us up as soon as you disengage from streaming or listening on the airwaves. And the dial-in number is 605-562-4209. Still haven't heard whether we're going to have Dr. Vial in this week or interview him this week, but I'm hoping that we'll also get Aaron Tilbury to come and talk about the child trafficking, sex trafficking that is getting out of hand in America. And there's way too few states that are aware of this and way too few states that even know it is going on. And there's a good likelihood that in your town, there are kids that are trapped in the sex slave trade business. It is that far out of control. So anyway, and as Aaron puts it, it's all about economics. As long as there's going to be a demand, there's going to be somebody that's going to try to supply, you know, the product for that demand. So anyway, let me also tell you that there's ways you can help, and we want to help you help. We want you to be successful in getting the federal government back into compliance. One of the many ways you can do something is if you want to help, just send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you also want to help and you drink coffee, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, click on the link. It'll take you to eBay, to the Red State Coffee. That's a black bag. It's a premium roast. If you want the grind or the whole beans, check it out. Let me know what you think. If it's not one of the best coffees you've ever had, then let me know. I will tell you, though, that by buying coffee from Red State Coffee, that actually provides us money. And I'm thankful to have somebody that is supporting us. If you have a product and you've got a viable product that can help support us, because there's lots of people that drink coffee. I'm amazed at how, you know, people drink coffee around the clock. I don't understand. I guess that's, you know, your body gets so attuned to drinking all those, all that caffeine and so forth. Because my wife tells me that there's people that are drinking coffee at midnight. Do you got any fresh coffee? Anyway, so if you do drink coffee, at least drink this coffee to support us. And we'd be happy if you want us to sponsor you, or you want to sponsor us, I should say, then reach out, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can also check out our crowdfunding on GoFundMe. And you can also get involved with Keith Broders and the Constitution Club. To do that, just go to constitutionclub.ning.com and you will find everything you need right there to get involved. And that way you can just sign up, get all the newsletters from Keith, and be able to get engaged with the Constitution Club. I will also tell you that if you want to get involved in another cause that is actually going to help drain the swamp, check out Our First Right. That is a Madison Amendment that they are trying to pass through enough states to get the representation back down, I think, 50,000. So please check that out. Force your representation to actually know you. It's a good, worthy cause. Anyway, let me just jump forward and also tell you that if you've got something planned for Constitution Day, let us know. We'd like to hear a lot of people talking about, we're going to do this, we're going to go do that, this group is doing this, we're going to attend that, or what have you. It's just a few months away. I know that people don't like planning that far in advance, but, you know, if you fail to plan, then you're planning to fail. I appreciate you tuning in, as we know that that's a fundamental way of one getting informed and supporting us. But as you know, we have not addressed any of the news that really isn't going anywhere. And I'm proving to the fact that it really isn't going to go anywhere. All of these problems, the Agenda 21 issues, the vaccine issues, all of these issues that are percolating up and down and up and down in the queue for the news narrative to keep, you know, hounding you about this or that, or to make you upset, it's not going anywhere. The fact is, what we're talking about now is how to get the federal government into compliance, and we're going through the process. That is critical information. It is paramount that we all understand this process. And so in doing that, then you can start understanding and sharing with others the details about this. But before we dive into where we had left off, let me remind you that the Red Pill Expo is in Hartford, Connecticut, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Please, if you want to rub elbows with the likes of probably G. Edward Griffin, Bob Schultz may be there because it's kind of in his stomping grounds. I should call Bob and find out if he's going to go there, if he's working with G. Edward Griffin to speak or present anything, especially what he's doing. I know Alex Newman will be there. I believe Trevor Lawton's going to be there. There will be, just go look at all the people that they're going to have there. And I will just leave it at that. Just go to Red Pill Expo, I think it's .net. Just duck go for Red Pill Expo 2019. And it will take you to that webpage where you need to get your tickets and or at least check out the streaming. Now, Republic Review, before I dive into where we left off, let me just say this, because there are people that have been let's call them naysayers. These are I don't want to say political operatives. These are actual public servants that are, you know, what is this? Is this just some other phase or fad, or is this another gimmick? What the heck's going on? Why are you even bothering us with this? This is not going to work. And that's because people have become so complicit and so apathetic because, oh, well, is this another Tea Party thing? You know, is this going to create another party? And that's how bad it is, my friends. People don't realize, you know, exactly what the problem is and what this is and how this solves the problem. And so my answer to those people and answer to anybody that says, what the heck is this? I mean, really, do you think this is going to work? No, I don't think this is going to work. I think James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were convinced this would work. The only problem is getting people who care enough about the Constitution to take a stand. Do you care enough about the Constitution to take a stand? If you do, you may want to learn what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison attempted in 1798 when the Constitution, when we were facing our first real constitutional crisis and federal overreach regarding the federal government back in 1798. Well, with that, I'm at a hard break. I'm going to finish this thought of, you know, this is not a gimmick type of thing when we come back from the break. So please stay tuned. And after these two promos, we'll be right back. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
So to be clear, Republic Review is a process, and what it is a process that is carried out by public servants who take their oath seriously. Every public servant has to raise their arm to the square, and they have to commit to supporting the Constitution. It's the first thing in their oath that they have to commit to. In the state of Wyoming, they don't have to just support it. They have to also defend, support, and obey. And so the question is, how many public servants in Wyoming or the rest of the states are both supporting and defending or even obeying the Constitution? I will tell you that if you do not understand where federal money goes and what it is for, then you better, if you're a public servant, you better learn quick, because there's a good chance you may be bringing in money that is illegal and unconstitutional, and your hands are just as equally culpable in bringing in unconstitutional money in for it. There's no such thing as free money. We delegated very specific powers to the federal government, and that's all they can do. They can tax us for the performance of that, those tasks and those tasks alone. If they are taxing the good people of this great nation for things that they have no business doing, they shouldn't be meddling with, and there are public servants at the state, county, municipal, whatever level, and they're bringing in lucre that is, again, illegal and unconstitutional, how are they not guilty? Because they've had to take the same oath. This is why Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is a very powerful tool that has not been used and needs to be brought to a better awareness. People need to start understanding that if you violate your oath, you've committed moral perjury. If you commit moral perjury, then you should be removed from public service, and you should never be able to serve the rest of your life per article or Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Most people think that, you know, taking on a public service job, it's, you know, it's just a backstroke. I mean, you know, how hard can it be? There are responsibilities. And as a matter of fact, some people have gone down the path of, well, we need to start hanging people for treason. I think what we can do, at least, is ban them. Treason's a, you know, a little bit of a taller mountain to climb. The whole point of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was so you wouldn't have to go down or up that mountain to prove that. All you have to do is prove that they've given aid and or comfort to the enemy and or have done something themselves that is a violation of the Constitution. You're either supporting people that are violating or trying to overthrow or undermine the Constitution, or you are performing acts that are absolute violations of the Constitution, which means most people that get this, that means almost everyone in Congress, because they've all voted for unconstitutional things, should be banned. Every single one of them. Yeah. GR's right on this. Go check out the Congressional Globe and read the document yourself. Go through the debates in Congress on what Section 3 actually meant for the 14th Amendment. And as they discussed it in the Senate, it was very clear. Because one of the senators said, well, how many people do you want to hang? And they go, well, and he goes, but bottom line is, you just want to hold people accountable for moral perjury. Yep, that's right. We do not want anybody to take their oaths lightly anymore, because they just came out of a very bloody battle called the Civil War. And it was, even though it was not an uprising or rebellion, and technically the southern states should have been able to do it, and they shouldn't have had to been forced to come back, but it was pretty pathetic that they wanted to cling to an archaic evil concept such as slavery. So I'm glad they came back. I'm hoping that they've gotten over that, and I'm hoping everybody's gotten over that whole thing called slavery. Because it's time we start working together and quit being divided over these petty issues of either race, gender, or what have you, and allowing new issues like transgenderism to divide us even further. If you want to pervert yourself or you want to go down some path of debasing your life, then keep it in your house. Society has no business, or we don't have time to deal with the debasement here in society. We've got to get back onto the path of enlightenment and doing things that are well-disciplined and what is best for society. What trips your trigger is not what's best for society. You know, let's put up a stiffer lip, a stiff upper lip. There you go, stiffer upper lip. Anyway, that's the old English way, right? A stiff upper lip, you know, just bite your tongue. Hold your peace. It doesn't matter. We do not care about your indulgences. What we care about is everybody having an opportunity to live a life of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Understanding liberty, it is not just free agency to run around and prance any way you want to. It has, and liberty or free agency comes with, two other tangible things, responsibility and accountability. You do it, you be responsible for it, and you be accountable for it. If you've had a negative influence, you've done something, you've done damage, you have to be held accountable. We live in a society that holds people accountable, and it's called the rule of law. There is nothing wrong with having, society can actually have laws to ban certain types of behavior or certain types of things. This republic was built upon it because the framers understood certain things within society were harmful. And the sexual revolution was literally one of those things that they knew was absolutely harmful. When people started saying, oh, well, you kind of have an old world kind of view on this homosexuality or the gay movement, because that's what you'll hear these idiots say. And I'm sorry for going down this rant. The reality is that is the old, old world view, because it's the carnal view. We as a society have overcome those. We actually put britches on instead of running around naked and doing what makes us feel good. We actually get a job and we try to contribute. We try to put food on the table. And as more complicated and more complex society gets, we don't have more time to mess around with those types of debasing behaviors, concepts, and so forth. And why are we allowing this to actually destroy this republic? It's about time. It's about time that we actually take a stand and say, you know what? We have to stand on the Constitution and the concept of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And we don't care about whether your feelings are hurt, because we don't care about what trips your trigger. It has no relevance to society. The ability for you to express your religion and there's, we need to have laws, my friends, on what do they call that? What was that? The Supreme Court justice actually ruled obscenity. Yes, I know what's obscene when I see it. There are reasons for having obscenity laws. It is time to start putting back discipline into our society. But that's another problem. Republic Review doesn't do that. What it does is it says, federal government, you only have these powers. These are the only powers you can do. And it's about time we get every person that has raised their arm to the square to understand that it is about compliance, compliance to the contract, that thing you take an oath to. Those things at the state level, both the U.S. and state constitutions, you take an oath to support. Nothing else will cut it anymore. Sorry, you're going to have to actually do your job and live up to your oath. That has to mean something. So anyway, I realize that I've ranted a little bit too much, and I apologize, but I want you to understand that Republic Review is not a fad. It is not some gimmick. This is a process that we need serious public servants to get and to exercise and do. So where we left off yesterday was with the bullet or the paragraph that starts off with, once 13 states have joined Republic Review, then the states will originate the process or organize the process. You have to have 13 states to actually start going down this path of creating the dissolvement and decommission. Now, If you do not have 13 states that all agree that something has to be dissolved, then you need to wait till you get to that point, right? Or you have to wait till you get to 38 states that all say we want to keep the federal government just the way it is and let's amend it so that we can go down that path. Yeah, and we need that like we need a hole in the head. Anyway, so the next line is 13 states is the threshold where enough states are committed to not ratify any amendment until the completion of republic review. And so that right there draws the line. If you've got 13 states committed to say, we're not going to let you do anything until we complete this republic review, then there you go. They'll actually be able to hold the federal government in check and actually start challenging what they're spending money on and putting a spotlight on them. But I don't want to overrun my time here. We'll be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so I'm going to reread this second bullet to this paragraph. 13 states is the threshold where enough states are committed to not ratify any amendment until the completion of republic review. That's all that is. It's a commitment. It's basically a wedge now on the federal government. Even if they tried to pass an amendment, there's 13 states saying, no, we're not even going to pass that. So don't even waste our time. What we want is we want you into compliance. Here, now you have 13 states chanting compliance, compliance. So more and more states will quickly get on board. I am telling you, as I'm looking at it, I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll just name them off. Wyoming, South Dakota, Idaho, Utah, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, Kansas, Ohio, Wisconsin, South Carolina, North Dakota, Michigan, Kentucky, Florida, Louisiana, and that would be West Virginia and Georgia. Right there, I have 20 states. Montana, Alabama, Texas, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Iowa. And then somewhere in here is Nebraska. That's 27. when we get to Nebraska and Iowa, I believe the good people in all of these states, even though they may be turning blue or getting closer to blue, when we have all of these states on board, the people in these states are going to understand. This is where I talk about cancer education. Once the first state stands up, everybody in the United States is going to be going, what the heck is this? And can they do this? And people are going to actually start realizing that not only can they do this, they should have done this a long time ago because Madison and Jefferson had already done this. And they're going, well, how come we've been missing this? How come this was all about, we were told that was all about nullification. No, it was all about dealing with the breaches of the Constitution and obtaining compliance. That's precisely what they were trying to do. And all of these organizations out there that are writing articles, it's only nullification. Nullification is the path forward. They're lying to you. Those are what they call controlled opposition types of arguments. Because why? Nullification does nothing. It is like trying to kill an elephant with a fly swatter. It won't work. Because the federal government will still have all of the powers and still be able to do all of the things because you're not interposing. You're crawling into your shell like a turtle and going, we're just going to ignore you, big monster. Anyway, so it's very, very important that you understand once we get to the 27th state, we now have a majority in both houses of Congress to force this to happen. That's the number we need right there. We need to have at least a minimum majority in both houses. And what I mean by that is 50% plus one. So in the Senate, you only need 26 states. It could be 26 states if one of those states in the 26 was California and New York and Florida. I mean, you get it, right? If we have enough population, because that's how representation is done. But we don't need to have those big dominating states. As you can see right there with Iowa, we have enough representation in the House to demand republic review and the resolution to go through and the dismantling of all the unconstitutional government that they had no authority to do in the first place. And so the next sub-bullet with this, once we have 13 states, and I hope you're using the model, we have this nice picture of a flow chart that kind of shows you how things are going. Each state has verified. So once you've got all 13 states, then all 13 states will have verified all amendments and confirmed constitutional violations for all amendments and roles, responsibilities, and powers in the role, responsibilities, and disposition stage. In other words, they're going to start identifying all of these violations and put them over into a disposition state or stage, and they're going to wait until we've got what we need from Congress to actually start dissolving and decommissioning. The next bullet is the body of the whole, all states, begin a joint formal review of each RRP. So that means all 13 states are doing the formal review. Formally set up three committees amongst the coalesced states. And these are the three committees that they set up. A research committee. This committee was set up in each independent states prior to this stage of doing the research necessary. All they're going to be doing is basically pulling together, we believe that these are the things that we need out of these departments, such as the Department of Energy. Remember, the reason this research committee is to make sure that we don't let the federal government destroy data and destroy things that we would need to actually function as a republic independent of their shenanigans and controls that they have been playing and using against us and selling. We're going to find out how deep the deep state goes when we really start looking deep within the Department of Energy. How much of the EPA would we really want to keep? Other than we may want the data to find out how they've been cooking the books and what they've been doing to oppress all sorts of good productivity within the states and so forth. Okay, so now these bodies are formally getting set up. The research committee, like I said, the next committee is the dissolvent and decommission committee. And then the other third committee, which I don't think will have anybody working really hard, is the amendment recommendation committee. The amendment recommendation committee is the committee that actually goes, you know what? We've got 38 states that actually agree that you should be doing this, federal government. And so we want you to give us an amendment so that you can formally have that power delegated to you so that you will not be violating the Constitution anymore. Imagine that. Wow, we're actually going to make sure that we're all in compliance. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So anyway, the next bullet under that is all violations are parsed by the research committee and sent to either the dissolvent and decommission committee or the amendment recommendation committee. So the research committee is also doing this thing called a consensus with each of these RRPs. Is there a consensus that we have 38 states that we actually want to create an amendment? No, then if you don't get the 38 states, boom. It ought. So once you have 13 states, see, you can do the math a little easier at the lower number. If you've already got 13 states, say, no way, we don't want them to do that. Why even count or waste your breath on any other states? Because you can't get to 38 with the 50. You take 13 out of 50, that leaves you 37, you're done. You got 13 states that say no way, no how, then you're done. It goes straight into the dissolvent and decommission committee. And you're going to find that most everything is that's where it's going to go. The next bullet down. In the research committee, each RRP is reviewed as to its constitutionality. In addition, each RRP must be assessed to its value, cost, scope, and function, both in a historic and current context to the Republic. This research committee actually has a lot of work to do to determine these roles, responsibilities, and powers, whether they are of service, of value, or what, and so that we can, you know, actualize what these things are really doing and whether we really need to do them, and if so, is there better ways of doing it? The research committee is, like I said, it is probably going to be the hardest working committee out of all of them. So the next one down is the new bullet and a continuation of obtaining additional states to create critical mass. Now, that critical mass that I talked about, that is your 27 states currently. And I just listed those 27 states, but I did not include Nebraska. For some reason, I did not have Nebraska in there. And the only reason why we don't have Nebraska wedged in here anywhere is because, one, they're unicameral and they're nonpartisan, which is a bunch of crap. There's no such thing as nonpartisan politicians. As far as I'm concerned, every political position, it doesn't matter, city council, auditor, whatever. It is a partisan, DMV, it is a partisan position. The reason, and in the next bullet down underneath identifying all these states, the reason a majority in both houses is required to support Republic review to ensure enough of Congress will cooperate with the states. See, that's what's really important, is getting congressional cooperation. Because the last thing we want to do is we don't want to have to, you know, be delayed by having to charge a congressman with treason, because you got to remember that they're above the law until they're charged with treason. Then they can be extradited back to the states, removed from session, removed from office, and replaced by the governor and who the governor would appoint per the process that the state has established in replacing a down or fallen representative and or senator. Now, as I just saw it, it's happened. We're going into a break. So when we come back, we're going to get into the disposition process. Okay. So when we dive into the disposition process, we'll get into these 38s and so forth. Some of this may be redundant, but I think sometimes you kind of have to go over it to get it maybe from a different view or angle. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so this next phase is the RRP disposition process. Now, this process is really where things shake out. Do we have the consensus to move this over to an amendment, or does this go into the Dissolvement and Decommission Committee? And so, again, all we need are 13. We need a minimum of 13 states demanding dissolvement and or decommission of the unconstitutional RRP, and then that RRP will be then turned back over to the it'll go to the decommission, and then it'll go through the rest of the process, but I don't want to jump ahead. The bottom line is that as their consensus is, as it goes out, Each state is going to have a tallied vote with all of their legislators. In other words, if you have 100 legislators, you've got, let's say, 60 in the House and 40 in the Senate, then you're going to have 31 in the House and 21 in the Senate so that you have a majority in both houses to approve, you know, this RRP goes away. That way, you actually have one vote from that state then. That's the state then votes, you know, even though you have 100 people voting, you only get one vote in this process. When you collect the states together, it's one state, one vote. Just like with the constitutional process, just like with an amendment or what have you. So however we break up our representation, it really doesn't matter. What happens and what matters is whether you have a majority that votes for that. Now, my preference would be that we would have a supermajority or something greater. But in this particular case, because we don't even have anything like that in place, well, we have to just move forward with a simple majority. And we will find that you're going to have a very hard time not having 13 states that think that this, you know, the Department of Interior's got to go away. And the reality is going to be just that. You're going to have probably well over 13 states that are going to think of every role, responsibility, and power that's got to go away. You may even have 13 states that say, hey, the Department of Defense is going to have to go away. But I'm sorry, unfortunately, that's actually within the Constitution, and that will be a part of the audit process to verify, yep, that's a role, responsibility, and power that is clearly delineated and delegated to the federal government. The final bullet before we get into the red text here is every role, responsibility, and power with a minimum of 38 states that desire the unconstitutional role, responsibility, and power be retained, then the RRP, role, responsibility, and power, will then be forwarded to the Amendment Recommendation Committee. So that's why I have this big bold note. It is highly recommended no amendments be recommended. The Republic will be better served with a limited and outward-facing general government as designed by the framers, rather than allowing the general government to become involved in domestic matters. Hope you get that. That's a big note, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm in favor of any of these powers being retained, that we need to amend the Constitution for keeping them. So the next step is going into the Dissolvement and Decommission Committee. This committee uses the aforementioned assessment to determine if each role, responsibility, and power possesses personnel, resources, content, schedules, and budget of value. If so, in other words, of value means that we want this back out to the states. We want to get this stuff promulgated, copied, and every state is going to be doing this for themselves. If that's the case, then the decommission and or the Dissolvent and Decommission Committee will then basically come out with a recommendation for, we believe that we need a two-year transition to get all of this information out of the Department of Energy and out to the states. And so the Department of Energy may be around for two more years. Who knows? But these will be very smart ladies and gentlemen at the state legislatures making very smart decisions on how to do this. So the next bullet down is roles, responsibilities, and powers with enough significant deemed value will be decommissioned with a fixed resource-loaded schedule and budget sent to Congress in resolutions requiring Congress promulgate specific resolutions in decommissioning the role, responsibility, and power and transition what is required as they identify what is required to the states. So they're going to be very specific in these resolutions, like with the Department of Energy. I use that because I think that there will be things that will come out of the Department of Energy that will be very useful for the Republic. RRPs are roles, responsibilities, and powers that are identified as useless, such as education, will be dissolved within a specific established timeline. I want to emphasize, I said this, I believe, yesterday, if not the day before, that these people working in these offices are under the impression that they are doing a legitimate job. And so you don't want to pull the rug out from underneath them. They're human beings just like you and I. They've got kids. They're trying to provide, you know, put food on the table and so forth. I believe that there should be no recommendation of just immediately turning the lights out. There should be maybe a shutting down of operations, like, and I'll give you a good case in point or a good example with the Department of Energy. They should cease and desist all budgetary funding that is going out to the schools for specific curriculum development, and anything that they've got their fingers into stops. Basically, everybody that's employed at the Department of Education will have almost nothing to do other than providing documentation and making sure that we have the transparency of everything that they've done that they shouldn't have been doing. Because everything that they're doing, they shouldn't be doing. But we want to know, and we want to see how far the deep state went into the Department of Education. You see my point? Because we're going to learn a lot as we start peeling back the onion with each of these departments and each of these roles, responsibilities, and powers. We're going to learn just how nefarious some of these administrations were, such as the Obama administration with Common Core, such as George W. Bush with No Child Left Behind, and how some of these things that were put into motion, like, you know, Medicaid with health care and so forth, is a part of what was it, Social Security, all of that type of stuff, and putting pharmaceutical scripts for people. All of these things that they have done by just trying to give out more entitlements and more entitlements, and what has happened with that and why they did it and other details, I think will be very illuminating. And I believe that when we start pulling the curtain back, I think that everybody's going to realize how lucky we are that we weren't driven off the cliff sooner, that we were actually able to save ourselves. And I'm here to tell you that we're only in this position because of the divine hand of providence saw fit to not give the federal government or create a federal government with unlimited powers, that he saw fit in creating one, a contract, or actually a compact amongst the states, and gave the states the authority to step in because they have jurisdiction. I've got to be very, very clear on this. If it is something that is not enumerated in the Constitution, the jurisdiction belongs to the states. It doesn't belong to the UN. It doesn't belong to the Supreme Court. It doesn't belong to Congress or even the president. It belongs to the states. All things not enumerated remain with the states or the people, period. And I can't emphasize enough, and that there was complete harmony and agreement, acquiescence, whatever you want to say, in the ratification debates, that the states had all jurisdiction over anything that was not enumerated, that the Supremacy Clause only pointed to the enumerated powers. The federal government was supreme in those powers only, not any power it wanted to assume. That's how far out of check we have gotten, my friends. And that's why we need to get hot on initiating this before it's too late. I got people working on this, and they're working really hard and helping. And they're saying, you know, sometimes I'm looking at this and I'm going, I don't know if we can do this. And I actually told this guy the other day, it was last week, we were talking, and I was talking to him on the phone, and I mentioned his name. I said, look, you know, we're in this position now, you know, 1 year down the road. I wasn't even close to this position. I want you to know that the divine hand of providence is helping us, because there was no way I was even in the beam of a light, whether it be a candlelight or a headlight, a year ago. And it was due to the fact that I was calling and becoming the nuisance to a lot of people, that I got a lot of people's attention. And that's how effective a person can be if they're a nuisance. If they're that squeaky wheel, I'll drive you crazy. So my friends, we're wrapping up. We'll try to wrap up the rest of this tomorrow. And so we will be back in going into the Amendment Recommendation Committee. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.